then that's the whole.
Okay, this is Monday, February 25th, questions and answers.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Such is the nature of life, that all it asks and all at once is an opportunity to appear. You are that opportunity, and so am I. It is the purpose of this teaching to make us aware of this essential truth of our being. And you've heard that enough times. I hope it's sinking into you that you are one with this thing, this power, this thing that we call God. You and God are one and the same thing. So, with that said, I would like to, this is the last in this series from the little book called Metaphysics. It's really a little pamphlet. So this is the last one, and we'll go over this so that you have these. In metaphysics, they have this, the absolute and the relative, and they talk about it sometimes. Sometimes they don't, but this will be good information for you. The absolute refers to that which is unchanging and eternal. So many times we call God the absolute because God is absolutely unchanging. Remember, you can never change the mind of God. You can only change your mind. So, the absolute refers to that which is unchanging and eternal. The relative refers to that which is temporary and changeable. Every event in your life is changeable. Those who hold that they have unchangeable negative characteristics, in effect, put those negatives in the category of the absolute. In this way, they obstruct all possibility of change for the better in their experience. Does that make sense to you? You cannot, that's the same thing as making, we call God first cause. But there is such a thing called secondary causation, but many people think secondary causation is first cause. It is not first cause. First cause is always God, and you must always go to first cause. What would be secondary causation? Secondary causation would be the belief in genes, the genes that are inside of your body, that genes determine the outcome of your life. They do not. They only do that when you make them first cause. That they are secondary causation. Only God is first cause. So, we have discovered, you know, through science and so forth, that we can change our genes. Years ago, they said that was an impossibility. But now they have proven that you can change your genes. And how would you change your genes? You change them with your thinking. You have to start to think differently. And then your genes, your body has no causation of its own. Only the mind has causation. So when you change your mind, you change that, all right? Unity metaphysics, and as all here again, you'll see the word in these little things, unity, which means the Unity Church puts this little thing out. It's just unity metaphysics, but it is metaphysics. Hold that only God and God's perfect divine ideas are absolute. Anything else is relative to individual perception, and therefore positive change is achievable in all circumstances. In all circumstances, positive change is available in all circumstances. So there is nothing that is impossible, and we know that because all things are possible with God. Potentiality refers to the power inherent in being, meaning in God and meaning in us. Actuality refers to the experience or the expression of those inherent powers. The degree to which people conceive of their potential as limited influences the degree to which they can express their own power and affect their own experiences. That's why you must sit down and tell yourself that with God, all things are possible. So it doesn't matter what anyone tells you. It doesn't matter what the world tells you. It doesn't matter what's going on. You must realize that all things are possible with God. And they will change. One of the biggest things that I remember about, we always think war, and we have so many wars and so forth. Years ago, and this was before my time, a metaphysician, a lady, stood up at a conference, a metaphysical conference, and she said, There is no war in the mind of God. And everyone was offended because war was going on around you. But there is no war ever in the mind of God. War is in the mind of men, not in the mind of God. So if you go to the mind of God, there is peace, harmony, love. And that's where you must always go. So we're learning not to look at appearances and not to believe what the world is telling you. You must be in this world, but not of this world. Unity metaphysicians believe in unlimited potential. You have an unlimited potential inside of you, and we unlock that. They take seriously these sayings of Jesus. For God, oh, there it is. For God, all things are possible. All things are possible. Though none may have as yet fully reproduced the wonders of the Gospels, there have been demonstrations of healing, abundance, and personal transformation. And you've all transformed somewhere along the line. You've had to have transformed. So we just keep building on that, and we learn that we can do that for ourselves. To doubt the possibility of wonders is to obstruct the experience of wonders. You see, you must look out and see all the wonders and all the miracles and know that this is a wonderful experience that you're having. And instead of saying, oh, I hear many people say, oh, what a horrible experience life is. Don't tell that to yourself. If you go around thinking that life's a horrible experience, you're going to draw that to you. Remember, we're always drawing things to us, and we're drawing things to us through our thinking. To doubt the possibility of wonders is to obstruct the experience of wonders. To apply practical Christian metaphysics is to begin to experience heaven on earth. And that's what we're trying to do, is experience heaven here on earth, to know that this is a wonderful experience. When I grew up, that was not what my church was telling me. My church was telling me to wait, and you will get your reward in heaven. So you can go through all the crap here on this veil of tears. And then when you're finished and you're dead, you'll go to heaven. And then you'll get all the rewards. I still have my friend Doug the Baptist absolutely believes that. And he's in that situation where life, the more he struggles with life, the more he is sure that when he gets to heaven, he'll be rewarded more than anybody else. So you bring that stuff on yourself. Don't do that. Okay, now, here's another little thing I want to go through quickly. The divine order, and this is very good. With every thought, word, action, and prayer, I transform my world. We're always transforming something with our thoughts, our words, and our actions. In God's mind, the world is in perfect order, and that's what you must remember, perfect order. When one part of my life seems to be in disarray, I transform the conditions by seeing it rightly. Beneath every seeming disorder is spiritual order, ready to be manifest through focused prayer and appropriate action. Everything. So when you're looking out here and you're seeing all these events going on, you have to know that there's a spiritual thing going on also. So go up to the spiritual. Don't pay attention to what's going on around. You'll never make it. In prayer, I align my mind with God mind. Always you're aligning your mind with God mind. You're learning to think God thoughts after it. God is the one power and the one presence, the divine energy within all people and all situations. I breathe into the awareness and realize that even my enemies are divine beings capable of transformation. My enemies. And do you remember what Jesus said about enemies? How you fight an enemy?
Love them.
Because as soon as you love them, they're no longer an enemy. Through spiritual awareness, I discern the divine order that underlies the universe. Aligned with God, I transform my word with every thought, word, action, and prayer. Every thought, word, action, and prayer. Then, all things should be done decently and in order. Now, does anyone remember the first law of heaven?
Order.
Order. Order is always the first law of heaven. When you put things in order, heaven will appear. I used to work for a lady who said, get your ducks in a row, and I often think about that. Get all your ducks in a row, and that means order, and things will work out. Do not have disarray in your life, okay? Now, I'm going to do two more things, and then we'll open this up. I found this. I just absolutely love this one. Three of them I have. Practice being extraordinarily kind to yourself. Practice being extraordinarily kind to yourself. That's what this is all about, learning to be kind to yourself, learning to love yourself. So try that. That's a wonderful one. There is nothing in my thought about the past that I can in any way deny me the pleasure and privilege of living today as though everything was complete and perfect. This is an Ernest Holmes thing. Everything, there is nothing in my thought about the past. You must stop thinking about the past. Remember, that's like reading the same book over and over and over. You don't want to do that to yourself. That can in any way deny me the pleasure and privilege of living today as though everything was complete and perfect. Most people do not make demonstrations because they dwell on the past all the time. There is no power in the past. There is no power in the future. The only power is in the present moment. Stay in the present moment, and it will manifest for you what you want. But we don't do that. Now, here's the last one. I love this one too. The small self thinks that years matter and your past is an indicator of your future. The small self. Don't let your small mind, don't let that small self of you think that years matter. Years do not matter. And your past is an indicator of your future. I never think, somebody asked me how am I feeling since I just had my birthday on Sunday, and I feel absolutely perfect. I feel absolutely in perfect health and the whole works. Now, I did have some congestion and so forth, but I got rid of that congestion. How did I get rid of that congestion? By going to where it is now. I went to the mind of God, and there's only health in the mind of God. So I went to where it is now. And that's what you have to do. So, anyway, I have now been on this plane of action for 70 years. Mm-hmm. And I feel exactly the way I did it, I'm sure, at 18. Energy-wise, health-wise and all. But I'm delighted with the years that have passed because they have brought me knowledge and they have brought me wisdom and they have brought me peace. And I understand things much better now. And I'm looking forward to more years to learn even greater things and to become at peace with everything. Now, with that said, we'll open it to questions. It can be any question. The month we were doing was from where it is now. But you may ask me any metaphysical question.
I have a question.
Yes.
What is practical Christian metaphysics?
Well, that's because it comes from unity, and unity refers to itself as practical Christianity. They just always call it practical Christianity because you can use their Christianity in a practical way to do something where other Christian churches do not tell you that it's practical. They tell you to give up your thinking. Mm-hmm. You say, you must accept what all that twaddle and you don't have to do that. So unity is called practical Christianity.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
It's very popular to do gratitude lists.
Yes.
Do you have any thoughts about techniques and doing gratitude lists?
Well, I don't do gratitude lists. You know, I don't sit down and write things out. You may do that, and that's a wonderful thing. I sit in the morning and go into a state of gratitude, and I look around my place, and I love it, and I look out through my windows, and I love everything that's out through there. And I stay in this state of gratitude. And I stay in that state of gratitude while I'm having my cup of coffee. Mm-hmm. Instead of thinking anything else when I'm having my coffee, I think of all that, the wonderful things. And that's how I do gratitude. Now, you can write down all those things, but don't you? Can't you just sit in gratitude over anything? You don't have
to.
Yes, you can just be great. You don't have to make lists, you know. Lists help. The only reason why lists help is because it helps your mind. And you know, when you write something, it reinforces. That's why they suggest that. But I don't do that. Question?
Dallas, could you talk a little bit about like metaphysics and like healing and like if you're, you know, not feeling good, got some physical some stuff going on.
Yes.
Staying healthy.
Yes.
Health and
everything. You have to remind yourself that the health that you have and the life that you have is the life of God. And that life cannot have sickness, cannot have illness of any type. Things come to us. My congestion came to me, but I knew that it was going to be temporary, and I knew where to go to find the health again. And you see, we're taught that we're always falling apart. We're taught that all these things, we're going to have this stuff. What you want to do is when anything happens to you, you have to say to yourself, it came into existence to go out of existence. That is the expression in the Bible when it said it came to pay us. It came into existence to pay us out of existence. But we think, oh, I've got that now. Now I have to live with it. You don't have to live with any of those things. But go to that and tell yourself that you're one with this health. You're one with the power of God. And therefore, you must stay healthy. Now, remember I said to somebody else, and I've said this many times in the class, before I go to bed at nighttime, I always say to myself, I don't have an ache or pain in my body. And when I wake up in the morning, I always say, I don't have an ache or a pain in my body. You're saying? And it's been working. So, does that help you?
What are some other obstacles to getting what we want? And how can we eliminate them?
The only obstacle ever in getting what you want is your own mind. Because you're thinking that you're not worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter. You must sit down and tell yourself that. You must sit down and do that thing of being extraordinarily kind to yourself. And then tell yourself that you're one with the power, that you do have power, that you're not a victim. You see, we are taught since childhood that we're victims. You must know that you're not victims of anything. You are here to be victorious. So you always want to be victorious. You don't want that. So you look in your mind and you say, what is my mind doing? And usually you're thinking of the past and you're thinking of a mistake, or you're thinking what your parents said to you, or what some boss or something from the past has said. You latched on to that and you think that that is real. And it's not real, you see. So stay in the present moment.
Parallel to that, along the lines of not being a victim, like, what about being proactive? Like, when you sometimes are maybe in an industry where you feel like you're waiting for something,
yeah.
and like you don't, like it doesn't seem to be an action you can take.
Right. Well, many times there's no action you can take. The action, the best action always to take is to calm yourself down and become peaceful and relax, and then things will come to you. Things do not come to a mind that is not relaxed. Now, this industry that you're talking about, you see, I'm absolutely delighted with this. Do you know that show on television, Smash?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's going out off. Well, my God, it's the most negative thing in the world.
Oh,
you
Smash.
Have to, yeah, you have to. Slap either other in the back. You have to do this. You have to do that. It's just it's the worst for actors to ever watch. And we get that attitude. You say you have to remember. Everyone has to remember this, and myself included. There is no such thing as competition. There is only creativity. There is only creativity, and the more creative you are, the more you will draw things to you. We look out there and we think the industry is horrible and it's backbiting and it's deceitful and it's this, that, and the other thing. You must remove that from your consciousness. You must remove that, you see. If God is for you, who can be against you? See? Does that help you, Andy?
Mm-hmm. Okay, I've been working on myself. And I feel like it's getting better and better at some point. And I am noticing tiny little, cute little demonstrations. So I know that, well, I'm not sure what I know. That's my question. I see these little demonstrations, but I don't have my big demonstration yet. And the little demonstrations are because I'm not sweating over them. I know they're easy, extremely easy. And there they are. Are the little demonstrations an indication of the big demonstrations?
Yes. Well, you're growing and you're practicing. And you have to start with something small, you see. If I were going to do something, a big manifestation, I would first do something small to get myself and to get everything prepared for it. But people want to jump to the big thing. But what you know the little things now. So now you must graduate. You must say, I'm now ready for my next step forward. Show me the way. And you must sit down and tell yourself that you are whole and complete and perfect. There is nothing missing. And you think there's something missing. We're also taught on this plane of action that we have to do all, you see, I'm never four steps. You know, I hate when they say, you're at level one or you're at step two and all that. Why can't you be at the top right away? You see, you're using the mind of God. You think God goes through, I'm at level one, I'm at level two. You go to anything and they say, well, now you have to start at level one and you have to go to level two or the 12-step programs and all that kind of stuff. Why can't I just go to number 12 right away? So try that for yourself.
Well, I did notice that maybe I was limiting my God.
Yes.
So at the same time, I would say, attract to me, you know, I would bump in saying it or maybe thinking it, I would say, you know, I'm ready to take the big things on.
Yes.
As well as seeing the little things.
Yes, bring it on. I have
bring it on. That's what I would say. Bring it on.
Because I have a Buddha called.
Bring it on.
Right.
That's what I said.
I have a bring it on Buddha. He has his hands up that. He's the bring it on Buddha. Bring it on, I can handle it. And that's what you must say. I am ready. I am heaven. I'm ready now. I can handle this. Bring it on. But don't do these 12-step things and say, oh, I'm doing all these little ones and they're going to build up to something. You know? It's like everyone thinks they found God when they can get a parking space. Well, but then they stop there. They never go past the damn parking space. Surely you want more out of this teaching than to know how to get a parking space. And for the people who don't know how to get a parking space, all you ever have to say, there's a place for me in the universe. That's all you have to say, because As soon as you say there's always a place for me in the universe, the parking space, the room, whatever you want will be. And you can do that with your job. There's always a place for me. And at the present moment, I think your mind is, your small mind is telling you there's not a place for you right now. And you're waiting for that place. You have to know that that place is there right now. Mm-hmm. You see? Does that help?
I'm schizophrenic. I know it's there on occasions and other times.
Right. All right. So then you sit down and you say, I'm a little schizophrenic about this, God, so heal this.
Okay. I'm having trouble seeing God in everybody.
Well, yes, we do have that.
And I. I need help.
Yeah. I had and this was came from an older woman at the time, but she was in her 80s, and she was a Unity, with Unity, and she said to me, too, that she had a hard time. She said, you know, I look at people, and to find the divinity in them sometimes is very difficult when they're acting like a rotten son of a bitch. But but that's the appearance. They're acting like that.
Exactly.
But you have to see. Yes, you have to go. You have to pull that in. Also, a couple of weeks ago, I told you I would remember, and now it's come into my mind. I told you about an older woman, and I'm sure she has made her transition by now, that lived in Long Island. And she was the one who told me at a conference, at a metaphysical conference, the only book you ever need is the Science of Mind book. And she was able to do great healings, physical and many, many demonstrations. And her name was Joyce Franks. I knew I had that somewhere. But anyway, do it. And yes, it's difficult. You know, it's the idea. You have to learn to love everybody. But it doesn't mean you can take them to lunch. You see, you don't want to sit at home and lunch. And sometimes it's better to love somebody when they're 3,000 miles away, you see. You know, it's easier, you know. So, but we're working on that. We're working on that. Yeah. So here, be kind and gentle to yourself and laugh about it. So, well, you know God's in there, but you can't find it right now.
Okay.
And if... Yes, you can have fun with your life and with all these things. You have to have fun with it.
Keep talking to myself.
Okay? Yes.
You've spoken about race mind before.
Yes.
And could you redefine that and
yes.
talk about how to cope and deal
yes.
with it?
Yes. Race mind is what's running the world. A race mind is the same idea that the collective consciousness. The collective consciousness is of a race. There's a consciousness, you know, for every country. There's a consciousness for every city. And that is race mind. Race mind is what tells you that you can't do something. Race mind tells you that there's such a thing as sickness. You see, and we buy into that because it's in the collective consciousness. That's what race mind is all about, is that collective consciousness. You must draw back from that because all those people out there are telling you all that. It does not make it so. So you have to look at that and change your mind about all those things. What were some of the things that are in race mind? You must work hard to get money. You must work hard to get money. That's race mind. That's complete race mind. There's tons of them.
Sickness.
All that is all race mind. Does that help you? Yeah. It's what the consensus of the population is thinking.
I guess when you talked about it, I heard something else through my race mind, yeah. Which is this constant bombardment of just everyday effluvia and random thoughts,
yes.
As opposed, I guess it would be the antithesis to being single-minded and have your mind at
yes.
rest,
yes.
a meditative mind.
Right.
So there would be race mind, yes. meditative mind.
Right. And it's not any meditative mind. In the Bible, there is a wonderful expression. It's called keep the single eye. And we're not keeping a single eye. We're always looking at other things. What does a single eye mean? It means to be focused. Be focused on what? That I absolutely believe that there's a power in the universe for good, and I am one with that power. And that power is working in, as, and through me right here and right now. It is always directing me. It will always direct me. It has always given me everything that I want. It has always been my friend, and I depend on it. That's keeping the single eye. When we get off of that, we're listening to race mind. All news is race mind. All news is race mind.
Can you say the opposite of race mind is independent thinking?
You can say that it's independent,
I mean,
yes.
Would that be the opposite?
Yes. That you're thinking for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And then we want to learn to think for ourselves, and then we want to go even higher and learn to think the thoughts that God's mm-hmm. thinking. But most people, you know, we decide to do something because 10 people tell you. Oh, it must be true. 10 people told me that. It's not true just because 10 people, I don't care if 100,000 people tell you that's not true.
The statement, mighty forces, bring mighty forces to help me out.
Oh, yes.
And, or you're saying, you know, can angels help me out, or my relatives what? Help me out? Does that mean you don't have a belief, or?
No.
What does that mean?
The expression is, be bold, and mighty forces will come to your aid. But you must always be bold, because we were not given a spirit of to be timid. God does not want us to be timid. God does not want us to be shy. God wants us to be bold. So when you're bold, mighty forces will come to your aid. Does that help you?
Mm-hmm.
No.
It seems to me like you said, you know, miracles happen at the moment of belief.
Yes, all miracles.
And when you have great belief,
yes.
And when you have great attraction as far as like being what some people would call a high vibration, or you know, living in joy or bliss, very attractive state. But how is there, it's like, I always feel like I'm trying to get there. And, like, I know I should just be there.
Yes.
And I'm not sure how or why.
So you're doing the same thing as Candace, only in a different way. You have to say, I am whole and complete and perfect. I am now ready. I can accept this. I can do this. Instead of thinking you think something needs to be added. Nothing can be added to you. Things can be taken away. What can be taken away? Your negative thinking. It's your negative thinking. We have to practice to be joyful and blissful. You have to practice that. Anything in life is practice, practice, practice. You have to practice it. You have to make up your mind. I'm going to be happy. I'm going to be blissful. Till it becomes you. And that goes back to William Shakespeare, who said, assume a virtue if you have it not. You must assume that virtue and it will become yours. Or back in the 70s, in the human potential moment, they said, act as if. And it will be there. So you just keep acting as if until it becomes true. Does that help you at all?
Yeah, it just seems exhausting.
Well, don't make it exhausting. Make it pleasant for yourself. Why would you want to be exhausted?
No.
You know, make it pleasant. Know that you're doing it correctly. You know, there's that wonderful saying, pray without ceasing. But very few people are able to pray without ceasing. But praying without ceasing does not mean you're on your hands and knees and praying all the time. It means you're watching the movements of your mind. It means that you're thinking the right thoughts. You see, and you can tell when you're not thinking the right thoughts. You have to change those thoughts. That's what we change in life, are our thoughts. When we change our thoughts, the outside world changes. There's nothing you can do about the outside world, people. Nothing. You cannot change it. But once you change your thinking, the outside world changes. Because it's always from the inner to the outer.
I think at the beginning it's aggravating because you feel schizophrenic. You go, oh, I'm wonderful, beautiful, whole, and then a minute later it's like, oh, I can't figure that out, or it's not coming, or yeah. Why, or I've got this time limit, and la, 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 and then you go and say, you know, beautiful things, and you go back and
right.
Forth, and then finally.
Right. And here's when you sit down and you take this power, this thing that we call God, which I have no idea what it is, people. You make it your friend. And you sit down and talk to it. And you say, I don't know how to do this. I don't know what's going on here, but I know you do. So you do it for me. You know? You move yourself out of the way.
Religion has always talked about creating frequencies,
yes.
Be it through ecstaticism or praying out loud or dancing.
Yes.
Do we create frequencies, I mean, in our thoughts? Are those as powerful as speaking out loud?
Yes.
Is the prayer that, you know, or the chant or whatever you want to call it that we give to ourselves, is that as powerful in terms of creating frequency as, let's say, singing or talking
yes.
out loud or
yes.
creating commotion?
Absolutely. Thoughts are very powerful. They go someplace and they do something, and they come back to you fulfilled. They do not go into a void. Now, that whole idea about vibration and so forth, you must remember, what does it say in the first, in Genesis? There was the Word, and that Word means a vibration going out. You're saying something, a vibration. You can say it loudly. You can say it inside, you know, the thoughts. It's your thoughts that are going to do the work. Now, to get to that point and so forth, it's like you want bliss and so forth. Play the piano, play an instrument, bang, cymbals, whatever you have to do to get the vibration started in you. Once you learn how to do that, then you can do it with your thinking. But it's always going to be vibrations, people. Everything is in vibration. And we send out things, and that's why we say it does not return to us void. Whatever vibration you're sending out, it has to meet that vibration, and it has to come back to you. It has to come back to you. And what was the illustration I used for that always? Is echo. If you say, I am a wonderful person, the echo does not say, oh, no, you're not. It says, it's right back to you. And that's what this vibration's doing. So I always look at the echo as one of those little things that God had to remind us, you know, that it's vibration. That something you yell out there, it comes back to you, what you're yelling out. You see? I went to healer's school and we had to do that. I am a healer. I am a healer. Till the echo came back to you. Now, when I do that, when you do that, let's try this once. And everyone, just go, I am a healer.
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 Don't you feel a vibration going on inside of you? Didn't you feel a vibration? That's what you're looking for. My hands are tingling. Look, they're red.
What if you're saying, it's a good question, because I would that you're in a group and they're saying that?
Yes.
You have to do feeling with that.
You have to do feeling with that. And that was the one that Tina Turner used.
Yeah, it's a SGI Buddha group.
Mm-hmm.
And they have the Gohonzon, which is a scroll of bodhisattvas,
right,
that they famous from
yes.
Yohonage Kyo.
Right.
And I do it once in a while with my friends, and I just can't understand how to work it.
Right.
And they won't tell you either.
No. So don't work
it's
it. Use your own. It's that feeling.
Yeah.
Didn't you feel something with that, I am a healer? Didn't you feel something? You feel vibration? You feel that? Well, that's the vibration, the same way with the chanting and so forth, you think.
Well, when the whole room is doing it, it's really a very rhythmic...
Yes. I love chanting. I think it's wonderful. Because it builds up a vibration. Sue, nothing? You didn't come prepared?
Do you chant? And if you do, what do you use?
I don't have to chant. I listen to chants, but I do not chant.
That's a question about, you're talking about seeing the good or the God in everyone.
Yes.
When they aren't acting God, when you're good, when you're bad, what do you do with the actions? If, you know, if there's somebody close to you, say, or somebody you work with, or maybe your son or daughter or mother or whatever, what do you do when the actions are not, you know, godly or godly towards you, and you want to see the God in them?
Yes. Well, that's a difficult one, and you say to him, that's inappropriate. That's just, you know, that's inappropriate behavior, you know. And you can always tell people, you know, you may not talk to me that way. You're allowed to do that. People think, oh, I have to listen to this. No, you may not talk to me that way. And when you ask somebody a question and they give you they give you an answer that you don't want, you can absolutely tell that person that is not the answer I'm looking for. You have to be able to do that. That's not the answer I'm looking for, thank you very much, because it's not the answer. It's their answer. Don't you...
I'll use that.
Yes, use it. That's not the answer I'm looking for. Think of something bigger and better.
Well, when do you know when to apply the 3,000-mile rule?
I should say that again?
I mean, when do you know when to apply the 3,000-mile rule?
If you notice, my family's 3,000 miles away from me. And I love them. That's when you apply.
When you cut ties, sort of?
Yeah.
Somebody,
right.
Like after you say that's not appropriate and then they're still doing it?
Yes. No, then get away from those people, yes. Have enough sense to get away from those people. Do you remember that lady that we used to have here that kept going to that coffee shop where they put her down all the time? Every morning she got put down at the coffee shop. And I said, well, why do you go there? Well, they're my friends. I said, I don't think so. I don't think so. I have to use wisdom here. That's not your friend that tells you that kind of crap. Don't know. Questions? Oh, you're just flicking your...
How about overcoming fear?
You have to work on overcoming fear. First of all, you must always sit down and tell yourself that fear is an illusion. There is no such thing as fear. Now, it looks like it's fear, but it has no life of its own. When you're thinking about fear, you're breathing the life into it. So you must take the breath of life away from it. So you withdraw your energy from it. And when you withdraw your energy from it, it has to dissipate. Because we're the ones who breathe life in. We breathe life into fear. We breathe life into our problems. We breathe life into all kinds of situations. We're the one that's breathing the life into it. If you want it to change, you have to take the life away from it. You have to take the breath away from it. Help you? No, it has no life of its own.
Even when we say theories, false evidence appearing real.
Yes.
That what?
False evidence appearing real. Is fear. You know.
And I also heard that it was, you're not close enough to God.
Well, we're always close to God. Now, see, I don't like that idea either. That's another 12-step program. You're always close to God. Where is God? God is in your breath. That's how close. God is in your nostrils, remember?
Oh, no, you're not. God isn't big enough in your life.
Yes, you don't have a big enough God. And that's what, with Candace, you must kick the small God out and get a bigger God. You know.
I don't have a big enough God.
Yeah. And that, when we're not getting what we want, it's because our God is too small. So you must kick that God out and get a bigger God. And back to Candace a moment, I forgot to add this little thing. When you do those little demonstrations and all, and you say, oh, they're very easy, that's because you believe in big and small. Yeah. And there's no such thing as big and small in the mind of God. The same life that's in an ant is in an elephant. Exact same. God does not know an ant from an elephant. The same way God doesn't know $1 from $1 million. You do.
So on those four things that you're supposed to have your checklist, like lovable, worthy, deserving, and you matter, would that be under the worthy?
Yes.
So that's what I have to work on.
Almost all things will fall under worthy and deserving. And here, that's race mind too, by the way. Because psychology only does... are you worthy? Are you deserving? They concentrate on those two things. But you have to concentrate on worthy, deserving, and this idea of being totally lovable. Totally lovable to yourself, people. That doesn't mean you run out and whatever you do with other people. totally lovable to yourself. As soon as you're totally lovable, people will come to you. And then the idea that you matter. Most people have no idea that they matter. And you must realize that you matter. You matter to this thing called God. This thing called God would be incomplete without you. That's how much you matter. If you would remove one thread from a tapestry, that tapestry would not be the same. You are needed. We are all needed. We are all in this together, and we all make up this thing that we call God. So we do matter, and we matter a great deal. But as children, most of us are not taught that we matter. Children's ideas don't count, that this doesn't count. I grew up in a family. You were seen but not heard. That was the general consensus of children. You were not heard. Yeah. So you have to listen to people to make them feel that they matter and that their ideas matter, you know, that what they're saying matters.
So to bump up my God and so forth, I just simply say it until I believe it.
Yes. Use your foot. Kick it. Kick it out of there. You know? So you just keep doing it. It'll work for you. But that's usually what's wrong. People have a small God. We were not taught. We say all things are possible with God, but then the brand name churches and so forth, they won't tell you that, because then they'll tell you, no, you can't do this, you can't do that, you have to do it this, that way, blah, 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 blah. You know. So you have to do it for yourself. It's a do-it-yourself project, people.
Mm-hmm. There are so many wonderful thoughts and affirmations, but sometimes when you get rattled, it's nice to have one thing to bring you back to center. Is the best thing worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and matter? Is that the
yes.
best thing to bring you back to
yeah.
center?
Yes. Yes. Do they have their art? You could do affirmations forever and a day. Find the one that works for you. Find a few that work for you and just keep using them. You're saying, I have maybe a dozen. Now, do I use them all the time? No. But I use them enough that I know that they work. Remember, in the morning when I get up, I say, through God, all things are possible. And then I continue from there. Money situation. Money is always freely circulating in my life, and I always have a divine surplus. All my bills are paid on or before time.
God is the source.
God is the source and substance of my supply. Yeah. Yes.
I don't understand the Jesus aspect, because what I'm trying to do is direct to get to know and talk directly to the source.
Yes.
When I was a Christian, it was Jesus, then the source. Now I'm to the source. But can I still use Jesus and Buddha and angels and so on?
Well, absolutely you can use those. They're guides and they help you and they do that. But you don't put them in front of you. They're helpers beside you, not in front. People say, I have to go through Jesus to get to God. You do not have to go through Jesus to get to God. You see? There's no intermediary in this teaching. You do it yourself. But yes, if you have angels or spirit guides, and you have Jesus, and you know, there's tons of saints and all kinds of things that are out there that help, you know. All this stuff really helps. Back to race mind one moment. You know, right now we're in Lent. Lent is a wonderful time of year to do things for yourself, because everyone is in the world, not everyone, but more people are thinking Lent and are thinking those things. So you take advantage of that. That's race mind. But you take advantage of it at this particular time. Same way at Christmas. Don't you feel better at Christmas time? You get into that? Because that's the vibration. That's what's going on. But you don't. I think maybe it was Ernest Holmes said that. You must always keep an open mind, but that not that open that your brains fall out. And that's, you know, so many people get the wrong idea of the religious experience, like Christmas and is all about the manger and the birth of Jesus. It has nothing to do with that. It has to do with a new consciousness being born in you. And it's a wonderful time of year to remind yourself of that and to do that for yourself. At Lent, what is a nice thing to do about Lent? Give up something. Give up a negative thought that you've had about yourself. Use all this. Use everything in your power. Use everything that's out there that's available to you. But I think the main thing I want to tell you is, love yourself. Be kind and gentle to yourself. Never give up. And it will happen for you. It will happen for you. You know? This thing of years and this thing of we have to get this accomplished and that accomplished. What you have to get accomplished, and of course people have careers and so forth. Well, that's all race, mind you know. That has nothing to do with spirituality. In spirituality, what we're trying to do is get closer and closer to the Godhead. That is the main aim. Now, along the way, you have to make a living. You have to do all that other stuff. But that stuff, as I tell you, like money, is a side effect of your consciousness. Everything is a side effect of your consciousness, of your thinking. So go to God first, and then all else will be added unto you. What is that saying? Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven, and all else will be added to you. Now, when we say seek ye first the kingdom of heaven, what do we mean? We mean get a peaceful mind, get a relaxed mind. Know that you're being taken care of. Know that your life is wonderful and not a struggle. And I don't have this and I don't have that. Never tell yourself what you don't have. Always tell yourself what you do have. Yeah, okay. This is what you want to do. But learn to sit and really appreciate and love yourself. And know that you are always growing. You're always developing. That's what you have to know, that you're always growing, you're always developing, that you're not the same person that you were last week, that you have developed into a better person. That's what we're trying to do. That is spiritual growth. And one day, you'll have an epiphany. That's all there is. It will work. Now, I have time for one more question. Anyone?
In sound, they teach you to, when you're mixing sound and you're, you know, literally mixing the frequencies, that the first thing that people want to do is start adding frequencies, which makes everything muddy.
Yes.
So then you learn to take away the frequencies. Is that a good analog for
Yes.
dealing with our frequencies?
Absolutely. You have to get rid of all the background noise that's going on. You have to get rid of all those other things. And what's the best thing that you should know in sound? What are you always looking for? A harmony. You know, two sounds that don't sound good, that's not harmony. You're always looking for harmony in everything. And that's what we're all looking for, is harmony. There's only harmony in the mind of God, and there's only peace in the mind of God. So that's what you want to look for, is the peace of mind. What do they say? Peace. It's the peace of mind which passes all understanding, because you cannot understand it. Okay? So with that, I will say it's wonderful, and so are you, and so am I, and there ends the lesson. Thank you.
Thank you. And happy birthday.
Oh, thank you, thank you.
What was that last thing you said?
Thank you all for coming tonight. Those are like...